You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So last week we heard our declaration message to all of us as a church, grow and go. And if you all look to the side, you can see that our billboard is up. We're making the vision plain. We're making it clear. And Habakkuk says, when the vision is plain, it'll cause the people to run. So are you ready to run this year in the Spirit of God, not in your natural self-sufficiency? Not in your natural ability or talent, in the Spirit of God this year. The Spirit of God wants to do it through this year. Do you believe that, church? Amen. Grow and go. Well, we're on part two this week, and I believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken so clearly to us as a church. Grow and go. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives, let your families, let your marriages, let your relationships, let your lives, the Spirit of God says, be built upon Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Mark 16:15 says, and then He told them, Jesus said, you are to go into all the world. Now, this is not just a message for the disciples 2,000 years ago. We are His disciples. We are His church. And the same message is to you and I today. You are to go into your world, your family, your community, your space, and preach the good news to everyone and everywhere. You can take the grace of Jesus Christ, who is truth, into your world today. Is that not a promise for everybody, church? Grow and go. This is the year that your families will grow and go. This is the year that your marriages will grow and go. This is the year that Gateway Church and His people are going to grow and go. Do you believe that firmly this morning, church? If you do, say amen. Amen. Genesis 31:3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, Jacob, I want you to go back. Go. Go to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you. Here's Jacob hearing the same word that we're hearing God speak to us. Go. It's time to get up and go, Jacob. I want you to go back to Bethel. I want you to go back to the land of your relatives. And when you do, if you follow my instruction, Jacob, I need you to know that I'm going to be with you. So get ready, Jacob. Arise, go. When God is with you, you're going to grow. And this was a stirring as soon as Jacob heard this word. This was such a word that became stirring in his heart. It was so compelling that Jacob felt it spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And for many of us today, God is stirring and compelling us with this same declaration word over our spirits and our lives. Church, Gateway, it's time to grow and to go. And it's the same Spirit that Jacob had with him, is the same Spirit that we grow and go with this year. So it starts in this story with Jacob having a dream. I know for many of us this morning, there is a dream so rich within our spirits. And Jacob had a dream. And in this dream, there was go, go. God was calling him into this new dream. But in order to go, in order to see this dream turn into a reality, God was asking Jacob to grow. In this process of going, Jacob would have to grow, and he would have to grow in facing his brother Esau. Genesis 28, it says, Jacob's dream at Bethel, this is where it all starts. Then Jacob fell asleep in that place and he had a dream. God said, Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham. I am the God of your father Isaac. And I'm going to give you, Jacob, you and your family, the very ground that you are lying on. Jacob, you're going to spread out to the west, the east, the north and south. Your reach and your influence is going to extend beyond what you know, what you've ever imagined. And so, Jacob, all the families of the earth may receive blessings through you and your family. I am with you, Jacob. Gateway Church, I am with you this morning. I will protect you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land that I have promised you. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Verse 16, then Jacob woke up and thought, surely with this dream that I've had, surely with what God has spoken into my spirit, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not even realize it. And he was afraid at the magnitude and the awesomeness of the word and the dream of God. And he said, what an awesome place this is. This is nothing else short than the house of God. You see, these were not just stories that were being passed down from his grandfather and his father Isaac. Jacob was hearing God and a dream from God for himself. This was a life-defining moment. When God speaks a dream into your heart, it is a life-defining moment. It's not just stories passed down through the generations anymore. It is your story and it is your life journey that God is pursuing you with. As one season ends, so another begins. So let's look at God and how he starts this new season in Jacob's life. We need to understand that from this dream until the dream starting again and being activated, 20 years have passed. Genesis 32:1. So Jacob, this is the start. 20 years have passed. Jacob went on his way. And this is what happens at the beginning. The angels of the Lord meet him. This is a good start for anybody's new journey. And it says, when Jacob saw them, he explained, this is the camp of God. I mean, God is showing him a foretaste of what is to happen and reminding him, Jacob, I told you 20 years ago from that dream, I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Let me speak and declare into your situation that you've been waiting and hoping for. Time might have passed, but God says to us again, I will not leave you until I have promised you what I have done. And what I'm going to do, Isaiah 43:19, look, I'm about to do something new. Come on, Jacob. Come on, Gateway Church. Look, I'm about to do something new. I know time has passed and your eyes have grown dim to my promise, but it's time to wake up. Look, I'm about to do something new. Now it begins to happen. He's in his moment. Church, we're in our moment. We're in the timing of the Lord for our promises to be activated. Look, I'm about to do something new. Now it begins to happen. Do you not recognize it? Hey, God, we just need to tell you today we're going to recognize it this year. We know that we're in your timing. Yes, I will make a road in the wilderness and paths in the wasteland. And we see that Jacob comes into his dream. He was on his way. He was not perceiving how much growth would take place in this season of life. Church, you cannot even understand the amount of growth that is going to take place in your life this year. God has spoken to us, church. So what was his area of growth? It was his relationships. It was his relationship with his brother Esau. It was his relationship with God. You know, geographically, which I found so astounding, geographically, the call to Bethel would take him nowhere near Esau. Spiritually, he could reach Bethel no other way. To meet God, he first must be reconciled to his brother. And Jacob was scared. You know, when we have to confront those things that God wants to restore and bring healing to, it can be fearful, but remember, God is with you. Genesis 32, this is Jacob wrestling at Peniel. Jacob sent messages on his head to his brother Esau in the land. He was about to confront his fear, what needed to be restored. So he thought, I'm going to send messages on ahead. They can meet Esau first. And he commanded them, this is what you've got to say to my brother. This is what your servant Jacob says. I have been staying with Laban, my father-in-law, for 20 years now until now. I have oxen and donkeys and sheep, male and females. Like, I've got everything, family. And I've sent this message to inform my brother so that I can find favor in your sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob and said, we went to your brother Esau, we saw him, and now he's coming to meet you with 400 men. hang on a minute, this is not just a conversation anymore. I'm just trying to get restoration with my brother. And now I'm hearing the word that 400 men, not women, not children, 400 men, which spells army, is coming to meet me. You can understand in this moment the amount of fear and dread that Jacob is going through. 400 men. And in these real life moments, how do we grow through these fears? How do we grow through these confrontations that God wants us to go through? Because it's restoration that he wants within our relationships so we can grow. So how do we grow? Well, Manoah asks this same question. How do I grow? How do I do this promise that you have given to me, God? And we see this incredible story in Judges chapter 13, and it's the birth of his son Samson. There was a man named Manoah. His wife was infertile and childless, and the angel of the Lord appeared to his wife and said, "You will conceive and have a son." Incredible words to barrenness, incredible life to infertility. And here was the angel of the Lord coming to Manoah's wife and says, "I can see that you're barren, but I can see that I have a promise of a birthing that I want to bring to you and your husband." This is an incredible promise that they receive. Verse 8, so Manoah prays to the Lord, "Please, Lord, allow the man sent from God to visit us again so he can teach us how to raise this child, this promise that you have given into our lives. God, I don't know exactly what to do, but would you help me grow? Would you teach me how to raise the promise that you have given into our family?" This morning, you too, church, can pray these same prayers. Lord, how do I grow this year as a father? Lord, teach me how to grow within my marriage. God, you can see the relationships that I'm going through. You can see my family of origin. God, I come to you in my prayers. Would you teach me the same way that you taught Manoah? You answered him, and I know that you hear my prayers. Would you answer me when I ask you to teach me how to grow? God is going to teach his church how to grow. Why? Because he wants you to be healed and restored. He wants you to know what to do with the promises that he gives you. Amen. The Lord answered Manoah and gave him incredible instructions. Like a roadmap, there's nothing worse than being lost, my friends. Nothing worse when Lee doesn't know how to get to the destination and he's like, "Naomi, how do we get there? You're the only one who knows how to truly navigate." Yes, I do. Don't you worry about that. I did geography. No, I did not. There's nothing worse than being lost. But when you get that navigation system and it tells you exactly how to get there and you reach your destination point, there's something about the freedom of getting to your place where God wants you to be. Why? Because when you follow his ways, you walk in the power of his protection. Instructions are not rules. Instructions are for your protection because he wants to see you have and hold the promise in your arms. Judges 13:24, Manoah's wife gave birth to a son named Samson. He listened. He listened how to grow. He walked and followed God's ways in the instructions, in the protection. And they gave birth to a son and they named him Samson. And the child grew and the Lord empowered him. Hear this morning, church. The child grew and the Lord empowered him. As you grow in the Lord, God is going to empower you this morning. And we need the power of the Lord. Amen. When you grow, you will be empowered. Samson brought forth God's deliverance to the people of Israel from the enemy. They were being attacked by all sides. You got to understand that this promise brought deliverance. There is deliverance. There is restoration. There is hope within your spirits. And this is our time this year to go, church, because we want to see birth Samsons of promise into our generation. Amen. So how did Jacob grow? We saw how Manoah grew, but Jacob was facing such obstacles. How did you grow, Jacob? We know he's experiencing fear about facing his brother. And I love in this passage of scripture, we see clearly what Jacob did. He plans. He prays. Jacob plans. He prays. He prays. He plans. He prays. He plans. And we see this incredible routine of planning and strategizing and praying. pausing long enough to not make rash decisions when fear is facing them, but pausing and saying, God, how do I plan? How do I strategy? And now I cry out to you and receive your truth. Self-sufficiency would now grow to dependency. That's what God wants to grow in us this year. He wants to weed out self-sufficiency, and he wants dependency on him to rise up. Zechariah 4:6, and he said to me, this is what the Lord says to us today. It's not by force. It's not by self-sufficiency. It's not by your strength. It's by nothing that you can do. It is by his Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's army. So Jacob plans. Genesis 32, it says Jacob, he was so afraid. He was so upset. So he divided the people. Like you see here, he's going into strategy mode. He's planning. He's putting the flocks and the herds and the camels, and his family is over there. And he's thinking, if Esau attacks one camp, then the other camp will be out of space. He's not reacting. He's planning. Then Jacob prays. Genesis 32, then Jacob prayed, Lord, you said to me, God, go to your land and to your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I'm scared. Rescue me, I pray, from my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me, as well as the mothers and their children. But you said, God, I will certainly make you prosper and will make your family like the sand on the seashore, too numerous to count. See what Jacob's doing? He's planning. He's pausing. He's not being reactive. He's strategizing, but then he's getting his emotions. He's getting his fears, and he's crying out to a God who listens and who answers. Jacob plans again. He sends gifts to his brother Esau. And it says in verse 13, Jacob stayed there that night. Then he sent as a gift to his brother Esau animals. Genesis 32, 20, Jacob thought, I will first appease my brother by sending a gift ahead of me. After that, I will meet him. Perhaps he will accept me. So the gifts were sent on ahead of him while he spent the night in the camp. And then he prays. But this time the prayer, it moves into something different, something deeper. Like strategy is taking a hold of him, and warfare is coming. Genesis 32, 24, it says, so Jacob was left alone. This is the time to pray. Then a man who he did not know the identity of came and wrestled with him all night until daybreak in the morning. And this great encounter with God came when Jacob knew himself to be exposed to a situation wholly beyond him. Are you in a stage this year where a situation, whatever it is that you're going through, is beyond you? Be prepared for a great encounter with God. Have you got a situation that is beyond you, beyond what you can do in the natural? I love this phrase that Joyce Meyer said. It said, every testy thing that comes along, it may be the devil who's provoking it, but sometimes God doesn't lead us away from it. He leads us into it because he intends to take what Satan means for harm and use it for his good. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when God takes you through the Esau's, because God is going to bring deliverance. It was not Jacob's gifts that would make room for him with Esau. As Jacob would soon discover, it would be God's ultimate gift of grace, not negotiation alone, that will make the way. Grace. What is grace? It's God's gift of undeserved favor and blessing. And we have to remember God's words to Jacob. We have to remember the word that God has spoken into our spirits. But you said, I will certainly make you prosper. I will make your family like the sand on the seashore, too numerous to count. You know, the threat of it already had driven Jacob to prayer, and both renewed his desire to be alone. And the form that the night struggle took indicated a hunger now for God himself, a hunger awakened by the crisis, but not determined by it. A hunger awakened by the crisis, but not determined by it. Genesis 32 says, so Jacob was left alone. He just knew in this moment that he had to be alone with God. And then a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not defeat Jacob, he struck the socket of his hip. So the socket of Jacob's hip was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." And this was Jacob. "I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm facing my fear. I'm facing reconciliation with my brother. God, you have promised not to leave me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And church, this is something that's got to rise up on the inside of us. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless my marriage. I'm not going to let you go until you heal those relationships. I'm not going to go until you restore that abuse that happened in my life. God, I'm not going to let you go until I receive your blessing. It's got to stir you. It's got to compel you. It's got to charge you, because the call of God summons you. "I will not let you go," Jacob relied, "unless you bless me." Then the man asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." "No longer will your name be Jacob," the man told him, "but Israel, because you have fought, you have been strong with God. You have not let go of the promise and with men, and you have prevailed, Jacob." Then Jacob asked, "Please tell me your name." "Why do you ask my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, explaining, "Certainly, I have seen God face to face and have survived." Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're going to survive. You're going to survive. I speak that into your spirit this morning. There's someone here this morning that in life is feeling emotionally and physically white. They want to give up. I'm going to tell you something. God is with you wherever you go. You are going to survive. "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Jacob conquers his fears. Jacob conquers broken relationships with God's blessing. Remember, geographically, the call to Bethel would take him nowhere near Esau, but spiritually he could reach Bethel no other way. To go, Jacob would need to grow. Genesis 33:4, Jacob meets Esau. Jacob looked up. This is it. This is the moment. I've got my blessing. I've planned and I've prayed and I've planned and I've prayed. I've wrestled. I've got the best blessing. And Jacob looked up and saw that Esau was coming along with those same 400 men. But Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, hugged his neck and kissed him. And then they both wept. You're going to survive. When the enemy confronts you with fear, when he tries to harass you with your issues, when he tries to attack you, I'm telling you this morning that restoration is yours. Salvation is yours. Healing is yours. Blessing is yours. And Jacob said, "Now that I've seen your face and you have accepted me, Esau, it's as if I've seen the face of God. Jacob, I'm with you always. I'm never going to leave you. Church, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you." And Hosea says it as the band comes. Hosea 12:4. He struggled with an angel and prevailed. This is Hosea talking about Jacob. He struggled with an angel and prevailed. He wept and begged for his favor. He found God at Bethel, and there he spoke with him. Genesis 32:28. "No longer will your name be Jacob, but Israel, because you have fought, been strong with God and with men, and have prevailed." Church, this morning, what an incredible prophetic word from God. This is his word that he wanted to breathe and speak into your spirits and the hearts this morning. Don't stop wrestling. Don't stop wrestling, church. Don't stop wrestling for your promises. So final thoughts. What is God saying and what can we expect? This is a year of vision. This is a year of declaration. This is a year of mighty promises coming forth. So what is God saying and what can we expect? There's going to be so many things, but this is the things I want to share today. Don't stop wrestling, grow. Come on, church, don't stop wrestling for your promises. Grow. I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. You've seen that situation that my family's going through, that my child's going through, that my marriage is going. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, because I can strategize and I can pray. But what I need is your blessing. I'm not going to let you go. God wants to bless you with favor, grace, undeserved, nothing that you can do in your might or your self-sufficiency, only what the Spirit of God can do. Secondly, when you go, God is going to give you the exact instructions. Every time we think about go and we think, oh my goodness, like, what am I going to say to that person? And how am I going to spread the good news? Like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to say. Remember Jeremiah. Remember what God said, Jeremiah, I'm going to give you the words to say. And as you say them, don't be fearful of their faces, because you have my word. You have my promise. You have my life. And when you speak those words, you're going to speak them without fear, Jeremiah. When you go, God is going to give you the exact words. And not only that, it's going to happen quicker than you think. I just love this story with Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. It says, then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go. South on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, it's a desert road. So he got up and went, and there he met an Ethiopian. Here's this Ethiopian. He's been worshiping for a couple of days. He's been on a pilgrimage, and he's in his chariot, and he's riding along in his chariot. He's sitting down, but he's in a chariot that's moving. And the Spirit of God says to Philip, I need you to go from where you are now. You know where Philip was? In a revival. Who wants to leave a revival to one person? But here is Philip saying, I'm going to go, Lord. The Spirit is telling me to go. And of course, this is all about you. And so he goes, and the Spirit of God says, I want you to run up besides the chariot that is moving. And so Philip runs with the Spirit of God and catches up to the chariot. And he says to the eunuch, he says to the Ethiopian, do you know what you're reading? Because here's Philip, here's the Ethiopian reading the book of Isaiah, and he's not making head nor tail of it. He doesn't understand. And here's Philip saying, do you understand what you're reading? I can see that you're searching it. God's led me to a searching heart. When you go, God is going to lead you to searching hearts this year, and you are going to have the words to say. And Philip said, I know exactly what it means. And he started to share the good news with the Ethiopian. He started to give him truth where there was barrenness and only information. And then there was this water down on the ground and understanding about salvation now. The Ethiopian said to Philip, hey, there's some water. Here's an opportunity for me to grow right now. And I want to get water baptized. I want to get saved. Philip, can we stop? I want to get baptized. And Philip said, absolutely. And he got baptized and he got saved and he got changed. You're going with the word of God this year. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to lead you to hearts that are already searching. And it's going to happen quicker than you think. A couple of weeks ago, I had a dream, and I finished with this. I had this dream, and it was before I went to bed, just like Jacob. We have dreams from God. Be expectant about those dreams. And I remember God saying, and you know, I don't want you to prepare right now. Just come and spend some time with me. And I went, oh, okay. And I went to spend some time with him. And I felt him to say, read a scripture. And I read the scripture, and I'm like, and he just spoke to me in that moment. And he said to me, see, previously, sorry, I've got to give you some context. Previously, God had said something that it's not my time yet. It's not your time yet. And I knew what he meant. But when he said this new word to me, he said, it's going to take 3 years. It's going to take 3 years. And I'm like, 3 years? Okay. I'm just so glad that you've given me some timing, God. I trust you. I'm happy with that. Those desires, those dreams that I want to see. Okay, 3 years. I can wait. I can prepare. You show me what you need me to do. And that night I went to bed and I had a dream. And in this dream, I just finished speaking somewhere and I got down off the stage and I went to this side room and this lady came up to me and she said, oh, can I just speak to you for a minute? And I said, oh, sure. And she said, you know, just the words that you were saying, they really spoke to me and they really meant something to me. And I'm just wondering, do you think you could pray for me? And I said, oh, in my dream, absolutely, I can pray for you. And so I started to pray for her, and the Spirit of God just came upon her. And the power of God was just completely all over her. And when she came back from this moment of praying for her, she was completely delivered and she was completely set free. And so I have this dream, just like Jacob. You have this dream that God has spoken to your spirit. And sometimes it feels like dreams are so way off. But I'm here to tell you that it's going to happen quicker than what you thought it was. Because a week later from my dream that I thought I was going to have to wait 3 years for, it happened a week later. I was somewhere and a lady came up to me and said, she was looking at me and like she was searching. And in that moment with this lady, in real time now, I saw that dream flash over her head, the one that I had a couple of weeks ago. And in that moment, I thought, what's happening here, God? The Spirit of God is doing something. I'm not sure yet, but I'm waiting to see what happens next. And then she said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And she said, I just want to tell you that the words that you've been speaking lately, it's really been changing me. They've really been speaking to me. And, you know, I just get this sense of this word that I want you to pray for me. Could you pray for me? And I said, sure. And I'm thinking, this is like my dream. But I thought I had to wait 3 years. And, you know, I kind of interpreted that I'd have to wait. And God, what are you doing? And as I prayed for her, the Spirit of God came upon her and she was completely restored and set free. I am crying my eyes out. I'm not a hugely emotional crying person. I am crying my eyes out. You know why? Because I thought I had to wait 3 years. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, your dreams this year are going to happen faster than you ever thought they were. Can I get you to stand this morning in this place? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you have asked us to grow. You have asked us to confront those things, those issues, those strongholds, that pain in our life. But it's not to keep us in a place of pain. It's to bring us through a place of restoration. God, you want us to find the stream in our desert. You want us to understand that you have a road in our wilderness. So God, we take up the challenge and we step into the declaration and we say to you, God, our Father, we will grow with this year. We will grow, we will come. And Father, as we grow, we will go with the blessing, the same wrestling that Jacob did. We are going to wrestle for that blessing this year. Why? Because God, you have caused a blessing to come into every family, into every marriage, into every person. Because we are going with the blessings of God this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.